Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be back, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do you have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. For House Street listeners, we have a promo code of 2022 half off, and you insert that in the promo code slot at VRTrader.com for any of the newsletters that you wish to subscribe to. You get 50% off for any time frame or newsletter you select. 2022 half off is the promo code. And also, I would like to disclose, as I normally do, that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
Are the stock markets truly in a rally, or should people be careful?
Well, you always have to be careful, but we're in a seasonally positive time frame. April, I think, is the second strongest month of the year. December, I believe, is the other one, based on statistics. Whatever inflation statistics that are coming out seem to please everybody, and everybody's counting on the Fed to do what they want them to do, which is, you know, stop raising rates or lower rates and so forth. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. There's so many other things out there besides the Fed, you know, geopolitically and so forth. A little naive to think that the whole world counts on what the Fed does and doesn't do, but it seems like the tail is wagging the dog, because, you know, the bond market has been rallying in anticipation of something the Fed really hasn't done yet. And in a way, I suppose that's what it should be. You know, I'm sort of anti-Fed, as you know, and free markets should be determining interest rates, not the Federal Reserve, in which case we probably wouldn't have had 10 years of zero interest rates and suddenly a surge of 4 or 5 percentage points overnight, the way the Fed has conducted itself. So in any event, we're in this short-term rally phase, and then afterwards you got to be careful, as the expression sell May go away as we get closer to May. Sometimes it tops out in April, so, you know, there could be a little bit of a bull trap here too, so you got to be careful if you're chasing stocks now. You know, we have quite a few stocks in the portfolio. We're not long the indexes. We're just playing individual names in the newsletter, and it just, you know, just playing the short term out. But, you know, I'm eager to jump ship as soon as I get a sense that this April-May phenomenon is behind us, because it could get nasty into the summer. We have the summer solstice. We had the vernal equinox, as you know, in March, but the summer solstice coming up in June, in mid-June. And last year, if you recall, there was a big market low. I think it was around June 17th, and the equinox was around the 21st. So there was a possibility that could be a low point in a market if it repeats itself. And so I'm cautious about that. We also have a solar eclipse coming up here on April 23rd. I think it crosses over Australia, which is interesting because there's something else going on in Australia now. But sometimes you have these economic switches or changes of direction around these geocosmic events, even though it doesn't seem logical. That's what it's all about, because no one wants to pay attention to it, thinking that everything has to do with the Federal Reserve and nothing to do with anything else on the planet. But, and, you know, speaking about the planet, I didn't want to lose that subject, because there's a big typhoon striking Australia, the northern coast of Australia now. I think it's Ilsa is, I think, the name of it. It's like a hurricane factor or typhoon factor 5, pretty destructive. And that caught my attention because there's one of the big gold mining companies that we track, Newmont Mining, for example, has been looking to acquire Newcrest Mining, who's one of their major assets is in that northern part of Australia, just where the typhoon is about to hit. So whether that impacts the potential acquisition or not, I think it's really interesting that the story is going on about that Newmont Newcrest acquisition story at the same time this big storm is striking Australia. So we sort of lose track because even this solar eclipse I just referred to, it's apparently occurring down under, so it's not getting a lot of attention here in the northern hemisphere, but certainly will have its impact down there, I'm sure, for those who want to you know, watch it, visualize it. So that's sort of the summary. You know, watch out, we're in a rally phase, but it could end up changing direction really fast here, and we're running out of time. If you believe the sell may go away phenomenon tends to work more than it doesn't, and sometimes it tops out in April.
Yeah, it seems to me lately over the past couple of years, everything happens a month or two faster than it used to. So if you said sell in May go away, well, now it's going to be April. If September's a bad time, traditionally it happens now in August.
Correct. And this is what you got to watch out for. And, you know, they're getting so ecstatic about, you know, the market. And, you know, we've already had a big rally. I mean, we had, if you recall in our previous interviews, we were talking a long time about mid-March, the Ides of March could be a big low point in the market. And, you know, what does this have to do with? This had to do with seasonality. It had to do with the, you know, the vernal equinox. It had to do with the Ides of March. It had to do with seasonal patterns that occur. And since that low in mid-March, we've had a substantial rally in the S&P 500. I mean, I believe it was about already over 500 S&P points. So we're already at the top phase of a rally from a low point, which we had predicted could occur in mid-March. And as a result, you know, just kind of flow with the flow. I mean, you know, for those who say, oh, I'm a long-term investor, I don't pay attention to that, well, that's fine, but that's not what we focus it on. And if we're correct and there is a big top here forming and a big sell-off into the summer, you're going to wish you weren't in the market.
Now, we know how high food prices are at the supermarket, but are farmers getting any benefit from those high prices, or is it the middle guy?
Oh, gee, I don't know who's benefiting more than others, but I know the public is suffering from the higher prices, and, you know, the inflation numbers are still showing, you know, food costs are high, and there's still shortages around, and, you know, we keep sort of a core position in the ETFs, exchange-traded funds that track the agricultural markets, you know, from corn and soybeans and just agricultural ETF and coffee and sugar and so forth, because they all seem to be, you know, still more or less moving higher, you know. So it's just a function of recognizing that's the case. And in my position, you know, I'm just trying to profit from some of the ETFs that track those markets.
Now, friend of the show, Ross Clark, pointed out about a month ago that coffee wholesale prices had plunged dramatically and then came up a little bit. But again, big disconnect between the wholesale price and the retail price. Do you think there's any way consumers can revolt and say, we're tired of this?
Stop drinking coffee, huh?
Oh, boy.
I mean, listen, you know, I hate to get too cynical about these things because I've done this for so many years. And a lot of these markets are manipulated, and particularly if there's futures contracts involved, and you know the big swings can occur, which are not necessarily related to fundamental factors. And you know this has been going on for decades in the futures and the commodity markets. So there's a lot of shenanigans in the markets. The best way to track it is you just watch the chart patterns and see if they're getting overbought or oversold and stuff. But yeah, there's absolutely a lot of discrepancies there, and I'm not the one to figure them out. I just, you know, with a weak dollar, commodities should do better, which they have, including, as we know, with the gold and silver market recently. So as long as the dollar is weak, there's going to be upward pressure on commodity prices. And you may not pick the right one. You know, maybe the corn is not going to do as well this week as coffee. You know what I mean? But I think the general trend, as long as the dollar is weak, is you're going to see higher prices.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on in the gold market?
Well, it's we're having a party. Gold hasn't broken out yet above its double top high of that 2070 level, getting close. And with the dollar weak, and with fear that the banking crisis is not over here in the U.S., I think even Warren Buffett came out just recently saying, even though you probably won't lose your money and you'll get bailed out, there's still more failures ahead of us to be seen, perhaps in the regional banks versus the big banks. And then, you know, uncertainty about so many geopolitical affairs that are going on out there. I mean, we can just run the whole list, but maybe this is it. You know, maybe we'll break out. And we've got, I guess, a 2,200, 2,300 next target I could see is in the gold market if it does clear that double or even triple top formation that it's now formed. It's way behind. I mean, it's been suppressed for decades. GATA.org, my friend Bill Murphy over there, has been documenting the suppression of the gold market for two or three decades, and a lot of evidence behind that. So gold probably should already be $8,000 or $10,000 an ounce, just based on normal supply demand and not non-manipulation forces that have been taking place. So it's about time, and we'll see if it breaks out, and go from there. The only caution I would have is that many of the gold shares and many of the ETFs that track many of the gold shares are still not at the same high level that gold itself is at. Silver's been doing well as well. Usually you see the gold shares lead the market, or the silver shares lead the market. In other words, they tend to, over history, and I guess every time you have rules, they tend to break them, right? So the rule has been when you see a breakout in the shares, that usually leads the metal. In this case, in this particular scenario, that's not the case. So what we have is a quote-unquote negative divergence, where you're not seeing the shares, explode into new highs ahead of the metal. So it's interesting how it'll all play out. And if gold doesn't break out, and this turns out to be a bull trap, then we can look back and say, well, the shares didn't confirm. That was a warning, as they have during recent decades. So, you just got to know where your stop is, where you're out, and where you're wrong. And if you're just a long-term investor in gold, my comment is irrelevant, because you believe that ultimately all the currencies are going to zero, and your only protection is away from the government and any currency, and you got to be in something solid, whether it's real estate or gold, and you don't really care because you're doing it as a hedge. It's an interesting, I guess it just gets down to, diversification. You don't put all your eggs in one basket. So anyway, that's sort of it. We're in the gold shares, and have been for a while, and they seem to be doing okay. And if we get a clear sell signal, then I guess we'll take our profit and look elsewhere.
What's going on with crude?
It's in my analysis, it hit a bottom, and a couple of the names that we have in our list have done really well, and we're just hanging in there. I just think, you know, there's all that's going on in the world geopolitically and with the weak dollar and so forth. I just believe that it's going higher. So, you know, I've had a multi-year viewpoint that it's going to go way, way higher. And, you know, whether it's 10 years or 3 years, but, you know, way up there, $150 to $300 a barrel, I could see over time. $100 is probably a reasonable near-term, let's say, you know, 6 to 12-month target. And, you know, some of the nice little oil stocks pay some nice dividends, and they seem to be a good place to be. So I'm a bull on it. I don't see any significant collapse. I think the negatives have already been accounted for. And, you know, you follow, you know, like we talked about a few weeks ago, follow Warren Buffett. He owns Occidental Petroleum. You know, he keeps accumulating to that. So I don't see him running. And speaking of Warren Buffett, he, and we did the same thing in our newsletter as well. He now favors Japan, as a possible place for investment. So, we're also in, by coincidence, the ETF for Japan, trying to take advantage of, you know, a market that's behind here. It's a whole different world over there, as you know. They're not looking to raise interest rates. Japan's keeping rates, you know, at zero or negative rates. And it's really the other side of the world, literally, in terms of philosophy and money management and so forth. But apparently there's this value in Japan, so you should take a look at some Japanese stocks or ETFs. And again, following the master, Warren Buffett here.
Now, cryptocurrencies seem to be on the comeback. Bitcoin now trading just over $30,000. What's your outlook there?
Yeah, I love it. I've been loving it since GBTC, the Bitcoin Trust, which was as high as $58 in the last year and a half or so, got down to $8. And now I think it's around 17 or 18, last I checked. We've been in it in the newsletter portfolio or model portfolio or whatever you want to call it, hypothetical portfolio, for a while. So when it got down to about 15,000, everybody thought that's it, it's going to zero. And on the charts, it sure looked like a big bottom to me. So we jumped in there. We've traded it a couple times, but it's not going back to 66,000 tomorrow, but anything is possible. You know, when you have a weak U.S. dollar and a lot of money is sloshing around, that sort of supports the Bitcoin. I still feel it could get up to the 80,000 or plus area, but if you remember, we talked about that a while back, and I sort of gave a 2 or 3 year time frame, so I don't think it's going to go there now, but it's a hedge. This is like gold, Jim. You know, if you don't believe in the markets or the currency, or you want to be in something that you feel is safer outside the system, Bitcoin is a good choice. And the likelihood of it being regulated more so here in the U.S. is not that great, in my opinion, because even the SEC has come out, as they stated, that it's considered a commodity, and it's not going to be a subject for their security regulation like you're trying to do with some other cryptos. So, yep, it's, you know, you got to trade them. I mean, you know, at 30,000, I still like it, but, you know, you could have bought it when it was 15,000 just a few weeks ago. So, I think it's okay, but, you know, if you have extra money, I would try to wait for a little pullback.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Gee, just the seasonality is intriguing me more than anything else. Just waiting for all the bulls to suddenly turn to bears at some point here between now and early May. So watch your back here a little bit. We're in a treacherous time frame in the market again. You know, we've had a big move, and, you know, no, the sky is not the limit with these markets. They swing and offer great opportunity if you can take advantage of it. So I would look to exit the markets around current levels and come back in the heat of summer and see where they are.
Mark, thank you so much for the update.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.